Those who can do, those who cannot do it on the internet. FancyPantsGangsters.com. Hello everyone and welcome to yet another gaming show, the Video Gaming Netcast, brought to you by the Fancy Pants Gangsters at FancyPantsGangsters.com. And it's another full show for another full week. Actually, it's really not that full of a week.
I had Monday off, so it's not a full week for me at all.
Ditto.
And I worked from home yesterday.
And you have probably had like 3 days off because you work for a financial place.
No, I just had Monday off.
Oh, so. I just assumed you guys get like, I assume banks never actually work.
Similar.
Oh.
I would say you get as much time off as teachers. I thought you just get the whole summer off.
No.
Banks don't close for the summer.
Yes, they do.
Where do you do your banking?
Yeah, I would skip that bank.
Are you putting it in a teacher's desk somewhere?
Yeah.
Maybe. That's the problem.
It's the bank of the dark school. Hole in the back of the yard.
Yeah. So we've got this. Ashley Hay.
Hello.
We've also got Ian.
What up?
We've also got Mike D.
Word.
And I'm here as well.
Those are the three most awkward introductions ever. What up?
No.
And word.
No.
I didn't say sup.
No, okay.
We've done more awkward, but you know, that's fine.
Challenge accepted.
That's right.
My crotch feels
funny.
We actually
have a lot of games to talk about for a change.
A little bit.
Well, there's absolutely no news going on right now.
Very little.
Yeah.
Which is helpful.
The PR debacle has died down, so there's no reason to.
Yeah, that whole thing's fucking stupid, yeah, but whatever.
You're stupid. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
internets.
Yeah. Now we're just saying random words.
Yeah. Yes.
Are you just looking at random objects in the room and saying you love them?
Are we all done here?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. Good. There is one thing that we want to talk about, and it's something we've kind of not really mentioned on the show too much. The various bills before the Congresses, ostensibly to cut piracy. The big one obviously being what is called SOPA, or the Stop Online Piracy Act, and PIPA, which is the Protect IP Act, and both of them have varying degrees of horribleness in them. SOPA tends to be agreed to be the worst one, and it's gotten some people upset at certain companies. At certain companies that have expressed support. I personally think any IP company that doesn't support it, that would be more surprising than anything. But
well, now Microsoft hasn't openly come out, and that's been kind of the, you know, I've heard the fanboy banter on that Microsoft themselves has not openly come out and been like, yeah, we're totally for this.
But they've Sony, been very wishy-washy.
But Sony and Nintendo have, up until recently, been very on board on it, and since they've been threatened by Anonymous now.
Can you give a little background as to what PIPA would be?
What is SOPA? What is PIPA?
What is SOPA and what is PIPA? Okay. I know SOPA more than I know PIPA. I know PIPA.
Yeah, because SOPA is the one that's been kind of the, if you had to pick the worst of the two.
Yeah.
SOPA is kind of the one because the
now it stands for Stop Online Piracy Act.
Yeah, which, you know, you don't think is a bad thing until you realize that the severity of kind of what they'll consider, you know, attacking intellectual property and copyrighted material stems to, you know, any sort of game you might review, a picture, a soundbite, anything of that nature. Basically to the point where the government is giving corporations free rein to be like, hey, if this, you know, if X site is violating your rights to your copyright or your IP, you have every right to
sue.
You know, sue them and shut them
it's
down.
It's not even suing. You can just declare have to take it down.
Yeah, declare so they have to take it down. And the problem with this becomes, you know, let's say, you know, let's take, for example, remember the big debacle with Cliffy B and Jim Sterling?
I actually don't remember that. What are you talking about?
Jim Sterling gives Gears 3 an 8, and Cliffy B just goes ape shit on him for how dare you give my game an 8 out of 10. This game deserves at least a 9, 5, or a 10. And it was basically a big...
He's a little biased.
It was basically a big, you know, who's got a bigger dick contest, essentially.
I would
Marcus Phoenix.
Well, regardless of, you know, who
I think he's
does.
More just cut from a block of wood, so I don't think he probably has much definition.
Is it Ken doll?
Yeah, I think so.
So regardless of that, you know, if you were to implement, you know, a law like SOPA, Epic can be like, well, fine, fuck you, Destructoid, you have to take that shit down, and we are shutting your shit. you know, because you violated our copyright.
It's not even you have to take it down. It's, yeah. We can turn off your website.
Yeah, we can turn off your website.
They don't necessarily turn off the website. They just disable the DNS resolution for that host name.
Right, yes. Correct, which is shutting down the website, essentially.
Well, if you still have the IP address, you can still get
The common man is not going to be able to access this.
It makes it extremely difficult.
Put it in layman's terms.
So I heard one of the kind of far-reaching implications of this is, I know one of my favorite sites, Lifehacker, they tend to post things maybe to torrent sites, not to a specific torrent, but like, if you live in a country with liberal, basically media laws, here are sites you can use. But because they support basically torrent sites, which support the illegal trafficking of IP,
they would be shut down immediately.
Yeah.
Now, the funny part about reading into it, and I don't know everything about it because I didn't read up enough on it, but somebody figured out that under their term of a rogue website, the website for the House of Representatives could be construed.
Well, yeah, that's kind of the argument. Well, hell, Google. I mean, Google itself could be.
You could say anything on the internet.
Well, that's exactly
is somebody else's property.
The way this law is written is so fucking vague that this basically can be used for any sort of shitstorm on the internet.
Like, do you know that cosplayers, we wouldn't be able to put our images online if we cosplayed a different character.
Exactly, because it could be construed as violating somebody's copyright.
And for me and a lot of my friends who are designers, who we do like lots of pop culture mashups or, you know, parody shirts online, all like T-Fury, all those sites would have to just be art sites, art shirts, and those don't really sell. It's the pop culture stuff. Those are what people want, and it's so hard.
I myself right now, I'm wearing a potential copyright violation. So,
well, except that the way that you get around a lot of like the art stuff or is like fair use and parody. So if you can argue that it's fair use or parody, you're okay. But what a lot of sites will just do is they'll just give you a DCMA, which is just like the cease and dismiss or take this down, and if you do it, they leave you alone.
But I mean, this would be beyond the DCMA.
Well, that's what I mean.
This would just be like, and your site's gone.
But I know so many artists who they get something like that and they just take it down. They're just like, oh well.
I recently got one as well. So
for those Googling at home, DMCA is the Digital Millennium Copyright Act.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So
this show's going to be full of acronyms.
Yes.
Today,
yeah. So I will try
and I think
to point
I said
out as many
DCMA,
as possible.
So, so you think about like all the artists who are comic book artists who do like fan art and then sell it at conventions, they won't be able to have online sites to sell any of their work, to do commissions. And there's kind of this unknown agreement with lots of people, artists, you know, copyright holders, that if you're selling something on a small scale, if you're not making a lot of money off of it, they're okay with it. If I could just design for Disney, if I could just design for, you know, for all these different pop culture places, fine, that'd be awesome. But there's too much out there. There's too many amazing designers who are going to be able to do that. And the same, like, with video games. How are we supposed to review anything?
Well, exactly. That's been a big thing is, you know, those of us who write, you know, I guess I can loop myself into that group. If we piss off a game company, you know, we're dead in the water at that point if SOPA were to be allowed to pass. Not only that, I mean,
so every review would have to be amazing.
Every review would have to be amazing. I mean, even the video series I did, I mean, there's a couple of games in that series that I bag on in the middle of those video series. I mean, and I actually have gotten a cease and desist from one of them already. But I mean, and that I can just, and I'm like, fine, whatever.
You just
take
it down.
That's fine. You
yeah,
know,
it
I
is
did.
What it is.
And it was no big deal. But I mean, my worry would be at that point, at least for me, is that I can only review games that I like. And then it would, I guess, the whole integrity of it would really go away. And I mean, and there's bigger implications for people, you know, who are large scale reviewers, you know, your Detoids, your IGNs, and all that. I mean,
well, how does
that would just, you know,
how does this bill take away your freedom to speech and being able to express yourself? Even
because you could be construed as violating a copyright by, you know, just images, mere mentions of. And that's, you know, a big argument in this, too, that people have put forth is that isn't this trampling on your First Amendment privileges?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it very well. I mean, for one, in all the readings I've sent in this, I could easily see this going to the Supreme Court to have to hash this out.
Right. Well,
as to violations of your...
I don't see how it's constitutional. And I understand, like, people want to, you know, like, people want to protect their copyrighted work. That's completely understandable. But at the end of the day, if there's some loopholes for, you know, to be able to write a review about something or to show that you care about something, like do fan art or do something like that, you know, or cosplay, that doesn't hurt them. Mm. They make enough fucking money. It's well, not like
it's exactly
it's not like
the people, same
it's
thing.
It's not like cosplayers are taking their money from them.
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, I don't think Michael Bay lost too much cash for everybody who pirated Avatar. Or whoever the hell it was.
I'm almost positive Michael Bay lost nothing for
James Cameron.
James Cameron, sorry, whatever. Same kind of thing, whatever.
I think, not to sound like a SOPA supporter, because I'm not by any means, but I think if you write a specific bill about how you're going to stop the trafficking of a specific intellectual property, be it like actual copies of Avatar or whatever.
That's different.
That's different.
That's completely different than just putting up an image of Transformers and like, oh,
I love this movie. Or whatever.
And you know what? That's been something, if diligently, you know, construed, they've been able, or, you know, diligently tracked, they've been able to go after. I mean, you know, there's watermarking. I mean, they know what's going on as far as the torrents, you know.
Yeah, it's not.
If they can release this data that, oh, Avatar was the most torrented movie of 2010 or 11 or.
Also got the most DVD and Blu-ray sales and the most box office sales.
They know. This shit goes on. They can track this shit goes on.
I don't think James Cameron cares either.
I mean, he probably does. He might have the douchebag kind of mentality of Lars Ulrich with this kind of shit.
But he made Aliens too, so I forgive him.
So it's just like, they know this shit goes on. They can track this shit.
Concentrate
your efforts on that instead of penalizing all of us. And quit being a fucking dick.
Well, I think also one of the things you have to look at is why people pirate movies, music, games, and all that. And it's for a lot of times it just costs way too much.
Right. Some people can't afford, you know, to maintain a lifestyle.
The argument might be is that, well, if you can't afford it, you can't have
it. Right. I'm not saying that by any means am I advocating piracy and saying that it's a good thing.
But kind of when you start looking at that, it's like, when you look at music, I mean, we all grew up in the Napster era, mm-hmm. where Napster hit, we all probably had copies, and we all went crazy on them.
The big thing for me was that a lot of these...
Well, you were still in South Dakota at that time.
Yeah, you didn't have internet.
Yeah, we did have internet, and I just really always liked physical copies.
Yeah.
Well,
that's just
thing,
me.
The
I mean,
thing
but
for
everybody's
me,
different. I still downloaded but some, but...
The thing for me was that, I mean, at 15 years old, it was really hard for me to... buy an $18, $20 CD, which they were charging at the time. They were astronomical. You can get it cheaper. I mean, if you go to like Target and all that stuff, you can find the $10, $12 CDs that have just been released.
I like that they're bringing back vinyl.
Mm. And that's something that they've kind of wised up to. It's like, okay, so we can't rip off the consumer as much anymore. And
the point I was trying to drive at, though, was that the music industry went through this huge point of piracy. Everyone was downloading. People didn't know it was against the law. And now you see, at least with Amazon MP3, they have, 100 albums or $5 every month?
Yeah.
You know, like they make it really affordable to get the music that you want. Or you can do things like Spotify or RDIO or however you pronounce that, where you can pay $10 a month and get basically infinite streaming
of
music.
Or even your Pandoras, your Last FMs. I mean, there's a whole bunch of different outlets for it. I mean, here's the thing. Piracy is going to always exist. There's always going to be
every form.
Yeah, there's always going to be a group of people who are going to try to buck the system. There's not to say you shouldn't do anything about it, but you can't do anything. You cannot 100% eliminate the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and just, it's penalizing everybody. Why? I mean, it's like, because, you know, Joe Schmo over here smoked a bunch of weed, now they're going to drug test everybody. You know what I mean? Like, you can't do that. You just can't. Like,
yeah,
it's
Evan,
not constitutional.
Thanks for ruining it for us. With
fucking
you and
Evan.
your damn drugs.
Sorry.
God.
But yeah, I mean, it's a very, very messy situation, and I think it reminds me a lot of something we talked about this summer, which was the California bill for video game banning video game sales, which by the time it went to the Supreme Court, they said, this is just too vague.
Right, and that's the big problem with this, too.
I don't think it'll get through the Supreme Court. It's too vague.
Yeah, my worry is
and I feel like they do a shit job, I feel like some of the judges know what they're doing. And when it gets to that point, when you don't have all these people fighting and it's just one person's decision, sometimes it's better that way.
You also need to take
dictatorship.
Yeah. We also need to hope that we get more tech-savvy senators and congresspeople.
Yeah, because that's the hilarious thing. Like, I watched the hearings, and you have these senators who, you know...
90 years old.
Who,
that
like,
technology!
Who probably can't wipe their own ass anymore because they don't have, you know, the ability to do so
physically.
You'd
be nice, that'll be you someday.
No, I'll have robot arms. Okay. But, And these experts who are like, look, this is going to break the internet. And, you know, Senator Geezer from the state of Texas is like, I don't believe you, whippersnapper.
It's a series of tubes.
I'm like, it's a series of tubes. It's all pornography. Ah. And it's like, no, no, this is a thing that exists that is helpful, and you're going to fuck it up because you don't understand technology. Because your pockets are lined with the cash from major corporations. So
we know that Sony
and Nintendo have both come out. Well, animately were supporting this until Anonymous came out and they're like, hey, Sony, remember us? Remember what we did last year? We could do that worse, right? And Sony kind of was like, oh, we're so sorry. We didn't mean to offend you. But the funny thing apart that is the it's the ESA, which stands for, Evan, you're the smart one. You know this.
The Electronic Sales Organization. Okay. Software
Association. Sony, Nintendo, Microsoft, they're all part of that still.
And the ESA is the lobbying arm of the video game industry.
Mm-hmm. And the ESA, totally all for it still. So while Sony and Nintendo are like, oh, so sorry, we didn't mean anything, they're only like half not into it because they still got...
Well, it's just some hypocrisy.
It's kind of like when I try to blame the dog for eating the last of something.
Yeah.
You know?
I don't know. So there's some hypocrisy, though, with ESA about all this.
Well, right.
Not really.
Well, the ESA was the one... No. Well, here's the thing. No, I will say there is hypocrisy because the ESA was the one this summer who was trying to get all of us on the bandwagon of we had to fight for our First Amendment rights. You know, we have to... all unite as gamers against this law for, California versus law. EMA. And now 6 months later, they can turn around and shit on the First Amendment with the SOPA
Act. Sure their argument is the First Amendment does not allow you to break the law. That is their argument.
Well, that is their argument, but at the same time, they also have to...
is not breaking the law.
Doesn't matter. Doesn't
they also
matter.
Have to realize the domino, the thin ice they're walking on.
But they don't care. That's the thing. That's what amazes me about people that are shocked that IP companies
I'm not shocked at all.
Or upset or anything.
You can still be upset. You can be upset by the injustice that things happen.
Yeah. You don't have to be, it's kind of like when a cop beats a protester. It's just like, you shouldn't be shocked by it because it's what, fucking shit happens, but it's not like you need to be happy about it or be, passe about it.
Well, it's more, what the hell did you expect?
I don't think we should have to be surprised, but I think we should expect better of people.
Can expect better. I guess for me, I don't see the hypocrisy because the ESA is there to represent the game companies. If they have to rally the customers, then that's fine.
But this doesn't even do that much for the game
company. No, it
doesn't.
It does absolutely nothing. Not only does it do nothing for the game consumer, it affects, journalists, anybody who...
Anybody who's on the fucking internet.
But they don't care. That's the thing.
Okay,
ESA has no stake in whether journalists give two shits about their games. They don't. They're there to sell games.
But is the ESA, or any person who holds any job... they're on the fucking internet. The ESA, all of them are on the internet. It affects them all personally as well. It's not just like, oh, here's my job. You can separate your job from your personal life, and I understand that. But at the same time, like, morals should always be at the forefront. Like, this is going to fuck shit up, and you can't just be okay with it. Somebody needs to say something.
Not only that, it's going to affect their job eventually.
That's what I mean.
This whole thing is a domino effect of just fucking everyone over, like, in the greater realm of things.
And again, I'm playing devil's advocate here.
No, I understand. I'm just...
can I throw something in here?
Sure.
So the Sonic
CD... You're the SOPA supporter, so no.
So the Sonic CD game that just came out for iOS and all that, didn't that start as, like, somebody's side project where they wanted to port that? And Sega's like, that's badass, we're going to release that game? I'm looking around...
Maybe, I don't know.
I thought I was reading that somewhere, and basically, with SOPA, that project would have been shut down crazy fast.
Not necessarily. I mean, Sega, in that situation, Sega... today has the mechanism to shut that down if they wanted to.
Yeah.
And it's not like SOPA says the media, it's not like as if if SOPA passes, anybody will instantly be done. It's still on the behalf, it still has to be done as an, it's still an active thing. The company has to target you.
But we shouldn't all. We shouldn't have to always ask for permission. We could ask for forgiveness.
Yeah, mother.
Yeah, the law doesn't work that way.
It should. Why shouldn't it?
Innocent until proven guilty.
Yeah.
IP law does not work that way.
Well, yeah. I mean, IP law is a lot like bird law. So.
Well, yeah. There is that, I guess. But no, I mean the ESA. They're gonna support it because there is no way that, if anything, it's perfect for the video game companies for the ESA to support this, because then Microsoft and Sony, they can say, we're not going to support this. Meanwhile, the mean lobbyists and the mean lawyers, they're going to want to support this, because there is no way a gaming industry organization or any media organization is going to basically allow themselves to be painted as pro-piracy.
Right.
And that's the thing.
I actually got in a debate with this with somebody that we actually both know, who's a quasi-Microsoft employee, because he tried to point that out, that, look, Microsoft doesn't support this. And I'm like, yeah, it's a PR move for them to say that, because they really do. They're just using a puppet.
The left and right hand don't support it, but the right hand's paying the ESA to support it.
But it's not supporting piracy. It's not what this bill... It's not just against piracy. It's too vague, and it's not direct enough.
We will run out of internets.
I just think that if the ESA is going to be for this, they should be demanding for a more specific, just type
exactly.
bill.
But corporations and lobbyists are not supposed to write legislation.
And specificity and is not the problem with this bill. It's very specific. Specificity is not the issue here. Specificity is exactly why this is dangerous, because they can specifically do these steps to do this.
But it's not specific, because it says, well, if they just use it, then it's against the law. But yet it goes against so many other laws of fair use and parity and all these other loopholes that people have gotten around with for so many years and actually don't hurt them. But yet it's still there. So it's vague in a sense where, so just everything on the internet, if somebody else has done it, it's copyrighted. Mm-hmm. Pretty much every fucking thing on the internet, someone else has done.
Yeah, I mean,
if I take a picture of myself with a shirt on and I bought it at Hot Topic, it's copyrighted.
Think about that. We could be shut down as Fancy Pants Gangsters Network if somebody from George Carlin's camp decides, hey, we don't like the fact that you're using a George Carlin quote as the site.
Again, I'm not for this. My point of view, the counter argument to all of this stuff is that, you bring up fair use and you bring up parody and things like that. I think those get overused by people. If they wanted to, Nintendo could go ahead right now with existing laws. Hell, laws that existed before the DMCA. They could go to the hundreds of video game websites that do shirts or any of that stuff and demand that they take them down, and it would be 100% legal.
Sure.
But they can take the material down. This is shutting down the entire entire freaking practice.
I get that.
I do like Evan's point, though.
We're arguing
you should
both points.
I like Evan's point, though, that you shouldn't be surprised that people support it. But I still think I agree with Ashley that you can be pissed off at people for
exactly
supporting it.
But
devil's advocacy, right? Though, but like your point of like you shouldn't really be surprised.
I'm surprised.
See, I guess maybe for
I'm
me...
I'm more appalled.
I have a baseline appalled at companies in general.
Yeah.
So...
You just walk around kind of grumbly all the time.
Yeah. No, it's just... I expect the worst, okay? Mm-hmm. So...
Well, it doesn't help when you have that Nike tattoo on your forehead either.
Yeah.
No.
But no, I just do. And it's hard for me to get up in arms... To me, corporations, especially media companies... are basically like little children. And you do not really get that upset. You may, in the spur of the moment, get upset that a child has pooped itself. But it's not that shocking.
And it's going to do it again.
It's going to do it again. Okay.
But a child pooping his pants is completely different than ruining the interwebs.
So I think
that would be
maybe
him pooping and smearing it all over the room. Again, I'm against this bill. I'm just saying.
I think we're all against this.
So you are against... a child pooping and smearing his feces all over the internet.
My children will not poop until they're four.
And I'm potty trained.
Until then, it's catheters.
No, let's visit the doomsday scenario. Let's say this piece of legislation passes.
The internet will be very smelly with poop smeared all over it.
Well, I think what's going to happen very quickly is, let's say company XYZ goes out and blocks a bunch of sites for... blocks a bunch of sites for basically having t-shirts or whatever. Mm-hmm. That's going to go out there in a very public kind of way. Much like we saw with Mr. PR guy from Oceans Media or whatever.
Ocean Spray.
Ocean Marketing. You have Ocean Marketing. Ocean, you know what I mean? Like, just like this gets out there very quickly, it's going to go viral, and this company will be boycotted like you would never
not
believe.
Not only that, Anonymous will not be able to get there fast enough. Because
there's a point there, but I really think the threat of boycott, especially with entertainment companies, is vastly overblown.
Boycott won't work. It's going to take, like, and I hate to bring them up again, but yeah, a group like LulzSec or Anonymous is going to be, I mean, they, I think, scare companies more than us who would just be like, I ain't going to buy your product no more.
But I think when you actually start dismantling pieces of the internet, then you actually start doing harm to the world.
In terms of what the world has become in the last 20 years. I would like to think that the general public would, or everybody would really look at that and be like, oh shit, what did we do? Quick, let's fix this, but it won't.
Yeah.
You know,
that's the optimist.
As soon as the shit hits the fan, people are just going to be like, well,
I didn't do it.
Whatever. Yeah.
Then you go download one of those books of IP addresses and you get to your sites that way.
Exactly. You know, I'd like I said, no, wait, I didn't do it. I voted for Ron Paul.
I'm not going down that route. Anyway.
UFC tried to occupy Xbox the other day.
That's right. We're moving past this.
Yeah. we are segueing like a mofo. But yeah, so in terms of the new kind of dashboard update for the Xbox, it included a UFC app, so you could watch the big UFC matches. So 30,000 coupons were given out on top of people paying to watch it, kind of like a pay-per-view event.
Which I knew a lot of people that were going to.
Yeah, I managed to get it in there for free.
Yeah, which I think is really cool. However, the service didn't really handle up the load.
No.
So, Mike, you actually tried watching it. Share with us your experience.
I did. So, as it was elegantly put, I can't remember what website I read this on. The stream was so erratic that it would go from high definition to standard definition to somebody has sheared shit all over my screen definition.
This is the smearing shit episode.
very poop heavy episode. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I mean, it, like, damn near pixelated. Like
you have 4 pixels of Brock Lesnar.
Right. And it just like,
which given his head shape is really all you need.
Like, yeah. You would think you were watching satellite TV circa 1997.
Yeah.
In the middle of a rainstorm because you can't.
So
I mean, it was bad. It was just, you know, the stream didn't work very well. At moments it cut out. And, like, you didn't see Jack off.
So it was all but unwatchable.
Pretty much. Even then, the main fight was unwatchable, but that's a different story.
Yeah. So,
this was Friday night, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, as posted on Kotaku, they have a humble apology that Microsoft wrote to Bitmob. The broadcast of UFC 141 through the UFC for Xbox Live application was hampered by technical issues, appearing in the hours leading up to the fight. Despite restoring service to some users during the course of UFC 141, there is a great deal of room for improvement. All 30,000 users who registered to view UFC 141 for free will be provided access to a future fight at no cost. We want to ensure that the 30,000 giveaway recipients for UFC 141 have an optimal experience with UFC on Xbox Live. Blah, 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 blah. Basically, they're going back and saying, hey, we screwed up. Everyone gets to watch it again for free.
I always love, and I don't know why nobody's ever think about this, is that basically the problem becomes, this is like every MMO that comes out, especially when it goes free to play, or anything that's going to involve some sort of streaming or high bandwidth
or server,
usage.
Yeah.
It's like, assume everybody on the planet is going to use it because it's always it's
but
like,
you can't because it's the number of servers you'd have to buy, like, to support that.
When DC Universe went free to play, the initial couple days of Star Wars The Old Republic, anything like this, it's like, and everybody's like, why the fuck isn't it working? And the companies are like, oh no, we didn't anticipate this. It's like, bullshit,
because the regular servers, they wouldn't
here's the thing. If you've ever stress tested a server, you would know how ludicrous what you just said is.
Yeah.
There's no way you can, and even if you're expecting 10 million people, even if you're expecting to beat World of Warcraft on day one, there is no way, if you test for a scenario where you have 10 million, you can't do it. It's impossible.
Plus the cost of each of those servers to support that. I mean, you kind of have to shoot for your best guess. Like, we're going to hope that we have, you know, 15,000 people for their first UFC match. Mm-hmm. But, you know, when more people come out or whatever it is, and you also then have to factor in, okay, everyone's going to be connecting at what kind of broadband speeds, you know, mm-hmm. like all of this different stuff. I think it's what I really like is Microsoft said, hey, we screwed up. We're going to give you another one for free.
I can't imagine that that problem is on the Microsoft side, because Xbox Live can handle that many people at one time.
Yeah. But it's the content streaming side.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm thinking the issue is going to be is from the UFC side.
But I'm sure Microsoft is hosting those servers.
Yeah.
It's possible.
Yeah, that's my best guess.
Either way, I think it's pretty big of Microsoft to just be like,
"Yeah, I mean,
we need to make this better. We're sorry."
I think Sony,
you should probably pay attention.
Yeah, I think after the Sony debacle,
debacle.
I like debacle.
Let's debacle the walls.
It has some kebabs.
We got a tub of that over.
Debacle the walls with poop.
So
what?
Jesus,
Kroll, you brought it back.
I brought it back.
What's wrong with you?
No, I think after the Sony shitstorm that I think Microsoft is definitely going to be
my big takeaway from this is that I've always wanted the Xbox to work as a TV device, and we've seen that in some veins with Hulu and Netflix and the new Fios
from
Xfinity. And what it really shows is that there's people that have legitimate interest in using this, because you know, from what I see, a lot of these people probably don't have cable, so they can't watch the UFC fights.
Yeah.
So if you can pay the $50-$60 for the match with your Xbox, why the hell not?
Oh yeah, and Microsoft, I'm sure, gets a taste of that too.
Oh
so
yeah,
they're happy.
Does NFL have one?
Not yet.
ESPN, right?
Yeah, ESPN 3, isn't it?
Yeah, it's ESPN 3.
Isn't there Sunday Ticket for PS3, though?
Yes, the NFL Network does have something for PS3, and on both consoles, you can also get the MLB TV, although...
Yep. I don't want MLB, I want NFL.
No, I want the good sport of baseball. But
you can also get hockey on PS3.
Yeah, although the bummer with MLB TV is that you cannot watch in-market games.
Same with the hockey
which
one.
Which pisses me off, because I would have that in a heartbeat.
Mm-hmm, me too.
I don't know what that
I remember
means.
I got
blame
a
blame
I,
the cable company.
I got a month free when I pre-ordered when I got my picked up my pre-order for MLB The Show 11. I got a free month of MLB TV. And I remember sitting down at my computer, I was going to work in an article, and I'm like, "All right, I'm going to stream the Atlanta Braves Minnesota Twins preseason game." And it died after a minute and said, "Sorry, you can't watch this."
But so kind of speaking of that technology for a second, it's really cool because you can do four games at once, and whichever one you click on is what you get the audio for. So if you're like a sports nut, these things are crazy, and I'm excited to see what they do with the console space, specifically the Kinect, I scream at my TV and it listens to me aspect.
Oh, by the way, Colin, I got a Kinect.
Nice, congratulations.
Yay. So you mean to tell me if I flail enough that the Vikings defense will actually like learn how to tackle?
No, but
it's not the defense, my friend, of the Vikings.
It's
so let's
team.
Not go there. It's the offense.
No.
Whatever.
No.
Christian Ponder rocks.
No. It is the fact. It is a Minnesota team.
Hey,
you
now,
guys
the Wild are still doing good and the Gophers are doing good. Gopher
you
hockey
see,
team.
No.
It's the beginning of the season. Give it time.
Minnesota sports are the crazy girlfriend. They may have moments of lucidity and
quit
you think it'll be okay.
Reminding me of this masochism that I put myself through every year.
Minnesota sports will eventually boil your rabbit.
See, being a non-sports fan, you revel
title.
In that fact, don't you? No, but so
it takes
part of
a women's team to do the fucking
you
job.
Know what?
To go back
I think,
to video games.
Yeah,
to go back
exactly.
to video games. Part
Please.
Of my break was
talk
spent
to Madden.
With me like slouching on my couch, screaming at my Xbox. Next episode.
Next episode.
Yeah. Next song.
Yeah.
I know, like, Cole. When we were buying the Kinect, he's like, "Do you know that you can like talk to it?" And blah blah blah. I was like, "No, Cole. I don't know how the Kinect works. Fuck you. Yes, I know how it fucking works. My God." I was like, "You're just gonna. I'm just gonna hear you in the bass and be like, Xbox on. Xbox.
I'm sad that doesn't work. By the way, because I think that'd be an awesome thing. Like, you can actually turn it off now with the Kinect.
Oh, you can.
But
sweet.
Yeah, with the new update with the dashboard. But you can't turn it on. And I'm like. I'm lazy. I don't want to press the button on my controller. I want
that's
to just
you
be able
a
to
remote.
Be
like,
I think
Xbox
actually, but that's
remote.
The same thing. A remote.
Still gonna hit a button.
I don't want to do that. I want to be able to scream Xbox on.
You want to be like the clapper?
I want to be like, and Xbox just boom fires up.
The worst for me is I'll be like video chatting with a girlfriend and she might know that I had Netflix on. It should just be Xbox play. And like, oh, so you're watching How I Met Your Mother.
At least they don't have like dirty
yeah,
movies
like porn
yeah.
on there.
It's
why
that
don't
good?
They have like decent?
Because
porn.
There's no good way to age gate.
Yeah.
On Netflix.
So when
there's no good way to age gate. Period.
You want them to have the porn tube?
I do kind of want them to have tasteful porn tube.
You know, like,
you don't have to buy it.
Google TV.
And I don't want my computer to get a virus because of porn.
Google TV, I believe, I think.
Yeah, Google TV does. And actually, I just got a Roku device for Christmas, too.
If it's Red Shoe Diaries, that's
no, no, they actually had a channel on Google TV that is one of the production companies. I don't remember which one, but.
It's lots of porn.
Oh. Okay, and not Red Shoe Diary porn, because I've seen pretty much every episode, and I was like 14, 13. And you
is that kind of like MTV's Undressed?
Kind of.
Do you remember that?
Oh. But a little bit more sexual. But the Joey from Friends, I saw he had
he's on two episodes.
He had a bowl cut, you know? Yeah.
What was the early 90s?
I know, right? But he had sex with this chick in an elevator. I was like, wait.
Why do I know you?
Because, of course, I snuck downstairs and was watching it, and I was like, I don't have anybody to share this with. This is Joey from Friends.
And this was before Twitter.
Yeah, so I was like, fuck, well, this is just funny.
What a primitive life we led.
14-year-old lashing, fuck. And then swinging her hands like a prospector.
Yeah, see?
No, that's just mobster now. Yeah. But also in terms of lots of people, Team Meat has sold over...
I like how you're moving the show forward.
I get bored.
Speaking of porn, Team Meat.
I get bored. I'm bored of you. Yeah. Continue.
Next episode.
But Team Meat has sold more than 1 million copies of Super Meat Boy.
Hooray.
Now, how many of them have they sold to this crew?
One.
Does Cole count as this crew?
Sure.
It's not my Xbox, so me.
So I'm the only one.
Steam. Right.
You son of a bitch.
What do you have it on?
Steam sale.
Same here. Steam sale.
Yeah, you know what?
Xbox.
Every time I hear about this game, I'm sure it's a fine game.
No, this game would probably cause you to kill yourself.
Yeah, I'm glad
you don't own it, because...
I wanted to turn off the Xbox watching Cole play the same level the 50th time. I was like, stop, quit.
I've punched my keyboard before, okay, in this game. I literally have punched my keyboard.
I saw him beat it. But I was like, this isn't worth it.
I played the Flash game, the sample game.
The original,
and that was enough for me.
I just went to the other room and just yelled, Super Meat Girl isn't worth this!
Well, she's a Band-Aid.
Yeah, Band-Aid Girl.
Well, I don't know what the fuck her name is, I didn't care.
This is one of two games that Laurel has come into...
You're so angry about this.
This is one of two games I've ever played that, since I've been, you know, dating/married to Laurel.
Been with Laurel.
That she's ever come into the room to check if I was okay. The other one was Madden, when I just sat there in the basement screaming obscenities because some kid beat me online in the last second. But no, Super Meat Boy, I think I literally just punched the keyboard and started screaming. And she's like, are you okay? And I'm like, I've played the same level 38 times. She's like,
the worst is that it keeps count.
Right. I know, and then after you beat it, it shows like all the times that you tried. Right. And I think I'm so angry at it is because it reminds me of when I played the Catherine demo, and I was just like, no, like I will not play something over and over again. I refuse. That is not fun.
See, my mentality is I cannot let a piece of technology get the best of me.
Oh, I can. I'll just punch it.
You know how you win that fight? You delete it. There is no greater power than the power of life and death.
Not good enough.
PS2, my friend's PS2 that we had fought with for 2 years, and when it finally had died, we all got properly drunk and then threw it off a bridge and it shattered in 10,000 pieces, and we all felt so much better afterwards, and we're like, what about
the environment?
Well, I didn't
care. It was South Dakota.
It added to the landscape.
It probably did. Let's be honest.
There's a little bit of elevation.
Yeah, that's right. There's a little bit of a skyline.
Because we were in the plains area, so it's like, fuck you, Xbox.
They actually had to build the bridge, too, because, you know.
We have small, tiny bridges.
To, what, go over a rock because you're too lazy to just...
Tiny streams.
Cricks, as they were.
Cricks.
Cricks.
That's enough stories for now. We got lots of games to talk about.
Story time's over.
Story time's over.
What are video games?
We got games to talk about. And I guess we're going to kind of go in the order in which they were released. So we will get more and more current as we go.
Yes. Even though all of them are within the last 2 months, aren't they?
Which I guess is pretty good.
This is our most relevant new game.
Oh my God. Journalism.
Which we've totally made up for the first half as being relevant. So
hey, first half was good.
Uh-huh.
Only because I was here.
Uh-huh.
Yes, of
course. Uncharted 3.
That's a game.
That is, yes, it is.
It is a PlayStation 3 game.
It is also true.
I thought it was a Wii. I thought it was a Wii title.
Shut up. Ian and I have been playing Uncharted 3.
I only played about 2 hours.
Ian is a failure. Let me continue.
But let me tell you the intro, like the opening sequence of the bar scene. Mm. just blew my mind. It's so cinematic, and like you're taking control of it. It's not like just a cinematic where you're watching it happen. Like you partake in it, and not in a cheesy cut time event way either.
I think that is one of my favorite parts about Uncharted 3 is you don't really know when the cutscenes stop and when they end. Like you're just always kind of in the moment.
It's like life.
And just at least from the opening, the acting, just like the acting and the voice acting was just spot on. It just really brought me in that world. And I'm kind of sad I didn't have enough time to play it.
I'm just really happy to have a male character that is somewhat normal, other than the fact that he's Indiana Jones and a parkour genius. But just
I actually had to look up what the hell that was when you wrote
that. Parkour.
I've never heard of parkour. I was like, is this like some sort of like Parcheesi or some bullshit? I don't know.
And then you watch YouTube for like 3 hours.
It's pretty much.
That's what
I don't remember him being that good at it. That was always one thing I liked about the Uncharted was that he was clearly, like, he would make these crazy leaps and crawls, but he would, like, stumble and do that.
But somebody who was bad, you wouldn't be able to do those.
Somebody who's bad at parkour
is mediocre.
Dead.
He's mediocre,
I suppose.
You
is the dead noob,
yeah.
I guess.
So, pwned. I would date him. I told him.
He is dreamy.
He's very dreamy. He's just kind of that ruffian man, you know?
I think he's got a... maturity issues, though.
He's also got the herp, I bet.
I think he just has thrill issues.
That might be.
You know, thrill-seeking issues, which, you know, whatever. You give and take in a relationship, let's be honest.
Scully always reminds me of my... Like, he looks exactly like my grandpa did, which always kind of humors me.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Okay, so I love this game, and I did not play 1 or 2. So I was like, I'm just going to jump right into 3.
Yeah.
Why not? Because I watched Cole play the first two, so I had a good idea of what was going on and what was happening. Basically, I knew that I was just going to go on some crazy adventure that no other person would be able to survive.
Been there, done that.
And find some civilization and whatnot. But the bar scene was awesome. And did you get to the part where he's a small child, where he's a younger kid?
Yes.
That was cute.
Yeah. You kind of go back to so Nathan cute. As a child.
Is that kind of like the beginning of Indiana Jones 3?
Kind of. Similar. Yeah.
Actually, yeah.
Was River Phoenix there?
Yes.
Excellent.
Always.
Awesome.
So basically, it shows Nathan when he meets Sully, his companion through... I don't know if it was the first two.
That was always a little bit of a creepy relationship, but...
What? How is that creepy?
He's an older man.
It's his father figure.
You've never played the games.
Yeah, I have. I rage quit the first one.
Play it again.
That doesn't mean you played it through. And it's his father figure, so... You can't hunt for treasure on your own. Usually you die. Usually you need help. Somebody's got to save you.
No.
She's got you there.
I could run it solo.
Because you've done it so many times.
I have.
Anyway, go on as to why you like it. Because you played it as well.
From what I've played, it's more of the same, but not in a bad way.
Right.
With the addition of kind of that Batman quick fight system where you can do the, block and hit, that kind of style.
Like if a guy grabs you behind, you can kick the guy in front of you if you need to.
Yeah, and the gunplay in Uncharted has never been the best, and it's one of the areas where it suffers. And that's one of the areas why I really wanted to snap my Uncharted 1 disc in half and just say, I quit.
That's I really didn't have a lot of trouble with the guns in this game. I feel like maybe they've listened and gotten better.
I know Uncharted 2 was a huge step up, but the big thing for me is that even Uncharted 1... So my perspective is I played Uncharted 2 first and absolutely loved it. I'm going back to Uncharted 1 right now while kind of playing Uncharted 3. So... Pay no attention to how I do lineage.
It's okay.
But the one thing that pissed me off...
Evan right now is having an aneurysm.
Yeah. No, that is acceptable.
Yeah. All right. Uncharted 1, though, the one thing that kind of pissed me off is like, all right, I can't hit these guys with, 500 bullets. I'm going to go up and punch them. And the melee action sucks. And that what they really did in Uncharted 3 was pull up that melee action and make it feel really good and give you the countering system to actually do some damage. So you don't need to rely on the gun as much.
Especially the guys with like the heavy armor.
Yes.
It's almost... Unless you have a shotgun in their face.
In the face.
Like, you have to... It's just better to fight them and then just evade other attacks. But no, it's... I thought the fighting system was a lot more than I expected it to be. Because I knew it was more of a shooter. But I also thought the shooting was okay. I also played on easy because I'm not trying to win any fucking awards or anything. Like, I don't care. I'm not playing on Xbox either.
What's
so
funny about that...
I don't
that
care about achievements.
Is... I think it was like... Battlefield Bad Company 2, their easy mode is saw it renamed to casual, and the description was, if you're a story tourist, play it on this mode. Like, if all you care about is a story and you want to have fun, this is the mode for you. Now, progressively, they get more challenging.
Yeah.
But I kind of like thinking about easy in that term of, like...
That's exactly my mindset. I was like, I didn't play the other games, so I don't know how much of a tutorial there's going to be, if anything's going to be that different. So I want to be able to just kind of ease into it and just enjoy the game. Because the thing that I had liked about the other ones is watching Cole is it is like a movie. It is a whole experience. It does suck you in.
I think this is one of those games where if you have a significant other, they can definitely just sit on the couch and have just as much fun of you as you watching you play the game.
But you can also play co-op
in
this. So that's even better. And I didn't realize that until I'd already started playing it. And then Cole was gone all day. And I was like, I have Monday off and I have 8 hours. I'm just going to play this by myself. And then I told him afterwards, he's like, what the fuck? You don't want to play co-op? I was like, no, you weren't home. Sorry. And I wanted to experience it kind of on my own for the first time.
You got to step out as, you know, you got to break away from just doing things as a couple all the time. You got to be your own person.
You can't just be, you know, grouped in all the time.
There's always Lego Pirates of the Caribbean for co-op.
That's right.
I did get Lego Harry Potter for Christmas, years 5 through 7. So psyched. Cole and I are going to play that. So yes, I felt like this is okay to play on my own and... yeah, I know. I really enjoyed it. I think it's a great game. I wrote an article on our Tumblr blog.
Yep.
Yes.
It's just things why I love. It's I'm not a writer. But
it's a love fest.
It's a love fest of why I love Uncharted 3.
So you guys can go check out the Tumblr, which is...
Yags? No. Yeah, another gaminggaming show.tumblr.com. I always
make the same mistake. I always try to type in the URL of yags.tumblr, and I'm like, this is not what I was looking for.
No, it's
is
just,
it actually something?
I don't remember if it is or not.
It's just, it's a great game. I feel like they've gotten better with, you know, the gun and in the melee and just the stories. I think, which is great about these kind of games, it's some games, you know, you can do over and over again. But this game is kind of like Indiana Jones, except I hope if they make a fourth one, it doesn't happen the same way that Indiana Jones.
Naughty Dog's direction is going to that Last of Us game or whatever it's called, which is like a...
Oh, that looks good, though.
Yeah.
The one with Ellen Page, the zombie game.
Yeah.
I think it's called The Last of Us or something like that. And yeah, and it's basically a zombie game, which at first everyone's like, I'm done with zombie games.
I'm not.
But then when you think
they're vague on what the they're vague on if they're actually zombies or if there's something else going on.
I think from what I understand, part of the teaser was a clip from the BBC series Planet Earth where there's a fungus that will grow on an ant and will just basically take over its brain for furthering the fungus's cause.
Yeah.
Ah.
And that somehow ties in this game. So it's not necessarily zombies, but you're kind of splitting some type hairs.
Virus or bacteria that takes over.
But based on Naughty Dog's pedigree with the last three Uncharted games, I'm really excited for them to break from Uncharted.
Yeah.
And also to see what they do with this game.
But I think the thing that I like about Uncharted is because they pack so much history and it's so much, you know, just...
There's a little bit of whimsy in it.
I think it's kind of like what Tomb Raider could have been if the games would have been a little bit better
story-wise.
Like, I think they've just branched off of it. Like, you know, here's really digging into story. Here's digging into history. Let's really explore this and make the games even better. I don't want them to do a whole bunch. I don't want it to be a yearly thing. I don't want it. But I think that they can make a couple more and they would be really good games still.
Yeah.
I just don't want it to be like the Indiana Jones 4. That'd be bad.
You don't want Drake to get married at the end?
What?
And Shia LaBeouf to be his...
No, it's not. No, it's just how far away the story went.
Indiana
from
Jones
the
always had a
three.
Indiana Jones, I think the first three movies had a certain way of kind of mocking themselves without taking it too far, where the fourth one openly laughed at itself.
No. I just think Uncharted 3 combines a lot of really good game elements and different explorations in a very well done way.
Yeah, and I think kind of the allusion to Indiana Jones is it has no problem.
You mean
taking
Uncharted 3?
Uncharted 3 and Indiana Jones.
Oh, okay, yeah.
As both properties, they don't take themselves too seriously.
Right.
And I think that's what I'm excited for in this next Naughty Dog game, Last of Us, whatever it's called, is because it looks like they're going to make a more serious, more heavy game. And it'll be interesting to see how they do with that, seeing that they are, you know, the creators of Crash Bandicoot and Jack and Daxter and Uncharted, like all these kind of silly...
They're very good at the kind of the very cinematic elements of gameplay.
Yeah,
they are. Very good.
So that'll be interesting if they go a more serious route.
What happens to it?
Yep.
Yeah, so, but if you play the other Uncharteds, definitely play it. If you haven't I still play it.
There's some, I feel like, you know, like it came out and got really good reviews, and there was a lot of random hate against the game.
A lot of that had to do with a lot of the bug.
Yeah, like, there's a bugginess to it.
Major.
So now that we're coming at it like 2 months late, it's probably been patched numerous times. And
exactly.
So
probably.
Which is kind of a good way to play games, I think.
Hey, sadly. our way of playing games is working. It makes sense.
Accidentally, but yeah. So Uncharted, we're fans.
Yes.
I actually want to borrow that.
It's my brother's, but I think he'll let you borrow it.
Okay.
I also
only if you borrow us a game.
So.
I probably can.
Okay.
In fact,
Cole has asked you to borrow numerous games, and he was bitching at me the other day that you don't ever give him games.
Well, no. Here's the problem. He always asks me like the day after I've traded them away.
That's what I said.
His timing is terrible.
He always trades them away.
Yeah, his timing is terrible. But the game that I just started and finished since the last show, Assassin's Creed Revelations.
Does it reveal stuff?
It does.
Did it reveal yourself?
He's already playing that.
Oh, is he already playing
that? He got it for Christmas.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, damn. See?
I know.
Now it's his own fault.
It's Christmas. What do you expect?
Doesn't matter.
You each get a game.
I suppose. Yeah, so I picked up the new, or I received the new Assassin's Creed, and it's interesting. Now, Assassin's Creed is probably my favorite franchise of this generation, and definitely up there for all time.
And this follows Ezio again, right?
This is the last Ezio story. This actually takes place probably about 20 years after Brotherhood.
Is it a Desmond every single game?
Yeah, it's Desmond every game.
But when he goes back, Ezio, it's 20 years.
It's Desmond's mind.
Okay.
Yes.
Desmond's mind is the one we're interested
in. Yeah, and then to really add to some fun, you get the flashback within a flashback, because there are times when Ezio is reliving things that happened to Altair, who is the character in the first game.
Can I just get a clarification?
Sure.
So,
can I get an amen?
So Altair and Ezio live in very different time periods, right?
Yes, they do.
How come their costumes are so similar?
It's kind of the uniform of their order.
Because Cole and I argued about this last night. He's like, they're not that similar. I'm like, what?
They're not that similar.
No, yeah, there's
the later
similar.
The later on in like Revelations, Ezio's is a little different.
A
little, but it's still like a cape and a long. Cole's like, it's a robe. I'm like, it's not a fucking robe. It's a towel. It's like a cloak.
The real kind of unifying theme with all of the assassin outfits is the little kind of bird beak on the front of the hood.
Yep.
And that's actually somewhat explained in the very first game, because it's all the whole assassin order is kind of tied around the image of the eagle. So that's why when you do the leap of faith, when you jump from a fucking mile in the air and you can land safely in a haystack,
I love that,
because that's possible. That's why it makes the little eagle sound when you do that.
Okay.
So,
but they're still pretty similar, right? Like, I'm not just making
I'm with you on that.
Okay, because Cole's like, oh no, I was like, but they have all the belts and the leather and the hood and the long.
I mean,
I was like, they're very similar.
Ezio's outfit is darker and has fur in it now.
The colors, the colors are different. Sure, that makes sense. But like,
no, I thought his one that's on the cover at least has fur.
Yeah, that's his starting one.
But like, from medieval times to what time is
Renaissance?
It now? Renaissance. They should change dramatically, don't you think? Maybe not.
Not
maybe
really.
Not so dramatically.
No. Yeah,
Ezio was a
hit. Maybe I would think like the fabric.
It's a functionality thing. I mean, it's not like it's not a fashion thing.
And it's because it's a whole order, right?
Yes.
So they all,
it's a
all
whole
dress
group.
Similarly.
Yes.
Ezio is just an assassin hipster.
There's,
you know, he's just
there
going,
no.
Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. So like I said, this takes place about 20 years after the main game, or Brotherhood. And, you know, he's a middle-aged guy now, and he's been kind of tracking. Basically what it is, it's at the beginning of the game, he shows up in Masyaf, which was the setting of the first game, and they're trying to get into Altair's library, which is supposed to have the location of the Grand Temple, and there's all this background story. Yeah. He can't get in, finds out that the keys to the library are in Constantinople. So whereas in the in Brotherhood and in Assassin's Creed 2, it was all set in Italy, this is set specifically just in Constantinople. And there's one level in Cappadocia, but that's not important. So it's all basically about him finding the keys. If you've played Brotherhood, you've played Revelations. It's kind of weird. Like, I was trying to think of how I want to describe this, and the closest I can come up with is this is a cover song, in that it's very similar and it hits a lot of the same themes, but it's just a little bit tweaked and not always for the better.
So kind of like when Lenny Kravitz did American Woman.
Kind of, yes.
Except that wasn't good at all.
That's a good cover.
I like that cover. I just really hate Lenny Kravitz, I know what you're saying. But so it's Kristen Bell, and she's like the chick with Desmond and all of them, right?
Well,
Or is it not her? She, in third?
Kristen Bell is not in Revelations.
I thought it was. It sounds just like her. It's just not her.
She is not in Revelations. That's all I'm going to say.
But there's a blonde chick when I watch Coldplay.
Then he's not playing Revelations.
But he's playing the newest one.
Then I don't know what he's playing, but there's no... Kristen Bell is not in Revelations for a very specific reason.
Every time
reason.
Of Veronica Mars?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
But...
Trust me.
Is there a different blonde chick then that was...
There's a redhead. There's almost none of it... The difference between... Like Brotherhood and Revelation in terms of the storyline is this is almost entirely within Desmond's head. There's no scenes that are in like the real modern world.
Was she in the second one?
Yes.
Maybe he's playing the second one.
Yeah, he might be playing Brotherhood.
So if that's the case, then he could borrow your
okay.
Revelations. But
well, I'm glad we've settled that.
but Desmond, the guy who does Desmond is Nathan Drake's voice, right?
Yeah, this is Nolan North.
Really?
And he's also Ezio.
He is everywhere.
I know.
He is everywhere.
How do we get that gig? I need to...
You have a voice that sounds like a lot of different people.
I could do that if I wanted to.
Yeah.
Probably not that easily.
Yeah.
But he sounds just like Nathan Drake and Desmond. I mean, it's not that different.
They're similar voices. But anyway...
No, let's continue talking about this.
So, I mean, in terms of the storyline, it's actually, as far as kind of capping the stories of Altair and Ezio, it's very good. It actually, the flashbacks to the Altair stuff kind of follow his story after the first game and his kind of reformation of the Order and all that stuff. And then Ezio, it's him kind of in his final years.
His swan song kind of?
Kind of, yeah. I mean, it's him... You know, getting to the point where he's now built this brotherhood in Italy. He's now in the process of this game. He's building up another order in Constantinople, and he's kind of done. You know, by the end of the game, he's just kind of done. Like,
well,
you can only be
assassin so long.
Yeah, I'm kind of sick of this. Like, he kind of wants to settle down. And as far as the story is concerned,
is it like the ending of Gears 3? Where Marcus,
I don't know what that is. So,
does he want to have some little assassins?
Yeah, there's some elements to that. I mean, it's just he's just kind of tired, and you kind of get that. In fact, there's at the very beginning when he is breaking into a castle, he like climbs over this wall and he basically says, "I'm getting too old for this.
I'm getting too old for this shit."
I know. I was like, I would have lost it if he'd said that, but yeah, he didn't say that exactly.
But you think like that has to be a hard thing to do your whole life. It's very
yeah.
And it's like a football player. You're
it's
done
like parkour.
At 35.
You can't do that. Your
it
whole
is
life.
Like parkour.
Parkour.
And there's some other references later on to just him being a little slower and you know not quite there, quite as together as he once was, but. Yeah, story-wise, I was very happy with it. You know, it's very, you know, it's a good ending to those stories. They're ready to move on. They push the whole overarching story forward to a good place, and they ended the stories of the two characters they've already introduced excellently. I think
Altair and Ezio.
Ezio.
Yeah.
But wasn't Altair dead by then?
Well, it's
flashbacks.
It's flashbacks. Oh, they're going back to tell the rest of what of his life.
Because newsflash, Ezio probably also dead at this
yes,
point too.
Well, Altair.
No, I meant
is...
like in the story from from 1 to 2, I would assume, and then 2.
Yeah,
to 3.
There's a way, and I won't go into it, but basically, there's a way for Ezio to kind of relive stuff that happened to Altair. Huh. So, and he uses that kind of the way that Desmond's using the Ezio memories to figure stuff out too. So.
The Assassin's Creed series being one of your favorite.
Yes.
How does this rate?
Like I was saying, story-wise, I think it's good. I think, you know, I've always really enjoyed the Assassin's Creed kind of mythology.
Mm-hmm.
And all of the kind of little bits to it. I think this one, in some ways, it goes into more detail of the overarching story, and in other ways, it doesn't. There wasn't any, like, if you play Brotherhood, there's all, like, the hidden symbols that are on the sides of buildings that let you kind of access this character named Subject 16. They access his memories and that stuff. And they don't go into that parts of it too much. There's segments where you can go into Desmond's memories where you find out that not a big spoiler, but you know, he was raised an assassin and he left. He left the compound basically and basically fled to New York. And in the process kind of forgetting everything he learned. And they go into Desmond's story a little bit more, but it's much more about moving the story forward. Mechanics wise, it's a little iffier. Because you know, all the same mechanics, you know, the parkour stuff, the assassinations, all that stuff, it's fine. You know, it's unchanged. It always worked well.
and the, you know, you don't do it. The stuff that they added, I mean, they continue the stuff in Brotherhood where you can call down, you know, when you can recruit people and call them down, that's there, and that's always fun. I mean, I always call them airstrikes because every once in a while, I mean, you can just basically pick a guy and call the assassin, and a guy will jump out of whatever or just out of the sky. He will just fall. And it was hilarious because I did that on a guy who was on top of a tower. It's like, where was that guy falling from?
It's the like, tallest tower in town.
Was there a hay bale around him?
No, he just, well, his fall was broken by the body of the guard. So, but it was just like, was an orbital assassin or something? It's like, what? Where the hell did he come from? But
a godlike assassin.
I guess.
It's the alien assassins.
So they've expanded some of the other stuff from Brotherhood where you can send guys out on missions all throughout Europe and they do stuff. But it's one of those where it's like, it's interesting, but it's not really functional. Like, it's a way to generate money, and in this you can actually take over cities so that they're under assassins' control and they generate money and resources and things like that. But in the end, it becomes more of a chore. It's not really that fulfilling. There is an achievement for getting all the cities, which I did, but regardless,
cause of course you did.
I'm sick.
Is his sister in this one, or was that the last one?
That was Brotherhood.
Okay, so that's what Cole's playing.
Okay,
because he's like, makes sense. Hey, this is my sister, and she runs a bordello. I was like, sweet.
Yeah, that's the second one.
We high five.
He is writing letters in kind of the inter chapter sections. He's writing letters to Claudia, so she figures into it a little bit, but you never actually see her.
Okay.
What about Leonardo?
He's not in this either.
Okay.
So,
not being in Italy, that would make sense.
Exactly. But yeah, yeah, there's all of that. Like, that seems kind of a chore and kind of stupid. And they added this thing called Den Defense, which is you can reclaim the 7 kind of dens from the Templars, and they kind of become these bases. And they added this concept where if you raise up enough stink, and you're not very careful with your actions, your dens will get attacked by Templars. And then it goes to this kind of tower defense game, which is fun. But the biggest problem with it is if you play the game right, you only ever do this once.
Mm-hmm.
You do it once when it was introduced. And if you play the game, you know, in a somewhat non-crazy-ass fashion...
So in other words, I would be doing this all the time.
You'd be terrible at this. but if you do it right, you never have to play that again. And to me, that was just kind of a waste. It's like, why do I even have to do this? Because it's different enough and it doesn't fit. It's just mechanically just very awkward and just... I didn't understand the point of it.
It was to introduce something new for introducing something
new.
Yeah,
and it just wasn't worth it. It added very little.
I think it'd be sweet if you had to run back to the den and defend it yourself.
You do, kind of. You run back, and then you are placing assassins on the rooftops as these guys are marching toward your base. And it's the standard tower defense. Okay, here's the slow rate of fire that does a lot of damage. Here's the fast but weak one and all that shit.
All your base belong to us?
Yeah. So, I mean, that was fine, but, you know, who gives a shit? And then they added the bombs. That is probably the newest, biggest mechanic is the bomb crafting. And again, it's one of those where it's like, it's nice, especially some of the ways to throw distractions and things like that, where, you know, you can throw a bomb and then that'll cause like a little sound explosion, which sends the guards off in the other direction.
Sure.
Cool. But again, it ends up becoming more of a chore than anything. And
you don't have to use them, do you?
Not really. I mean, you can, but it's just it's less of a chore than the assassin management stuff is, but it's more just another tool. And, you know, people complain about Arkham Asylum or Arkham City, where it was just they kind of ran. People complain like there's too many tools, there's too many gadgets,
right.
And this is kind of the same thing. In fact, I was kind of amused on how many different things they kind of stole from Arkham City in this. So, like, you know, just little interface changes, or like, remember in Arkham City there's the political prisoners that you could rescue?
Mm-hmm.
They added that.
Huh.
Where it's just random guys that you can help out, except it's not as fun because in this case it's either beat them in a fist fight for some reason, or move some boxes. They're like, we need to move these 4 boxes onto the boat.
What?
It's like, why? Stupid.
That is not
or beat them in
work.
A drinking contest.
Yeah, it's like...
That is not assassin work.
Like, again, that was not needed at all. Then that was kind of my one takeaway mechanically from Revelations, is there was just a lot of stuff that didn't really add that much. The bombs were cool, and throwing the blood bomb on people
where it's a bomb filled with lamb's blood, and it freaks them out, so you can
kill them
easily. It's
a water balloon, essentially?
Basically, yeah. And the sticky bombs are hilarious, too. But that was kind of cool, but it wasn't that terribly...
What about the bad bombs?
There are none. Sorry.
Oh, I know. Damn.
I know.
So, what would you rate it out of 10?
Well,
what's your Metacritic score?
Single player, I mean, honestly, I would give it probably an 8, I would say, you know, because...
That's pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, the stuff it does right, it still does right. I mean, if it's going to lose any points, it's going to lose points on the fact that the new stuff doesn't really add anything really that interesting. Like with Brotherhood, when they added the recruiting the assassins and calling them in, that was cool. And it's still cool. But... It's all the other stuff that it's just there to be there.
It just seems like it would be more important for the story, just like kind of build on history and all that, you know, more instead of all the other little gadget things.
Yeah, and like I said, the bombs can be cool, but it's just one of those where, especially, there's really only about 4 types of bombs you use, and there's 10 in the game. So it's like, the rest of them just...
Overkill.
Who cares?
Yeah.
Multiplayer, however. They brought back multiplayer from Brotherhood.
Which you loved.
Which I loved. And I found it amusing that I let my gold subscriptions lapse last year and then bought back in for Brotherhood multiplayer. And I did the same thing again for Revelations, where I bought gold again so I could play Revelations multiplayer. The game types are, you know, the gameplay is the same. They did some little interface tweaks and things like that. They got rid of the targeting kind of dial, I guess, so it's a little harder to track down people, and it's a little more reliant on, I think on the bigger maps they still have it, because I've gotten it sometimes, but on the small maps they got rid of it, so it's much more dependent on you actually paying attention to people and things like that. They added a couple new game modes, which are fun. There's a corruption mode, which is very cool. So I really like the game, but if I'm going to complain about anything, it was really short. I 100%ed all of the storyline and did about 95% of the challenges.
Oh, wow.
And I finished in 22 hours.
Yeah, it's pretty short.
And I probably could have blown through it in half that time.
Right.
If I didn't care.
If you didn't do all the extra.
Yeah.
Well.
But, I mean, a lot of little tweaks. Some of them are cool. They added the ability where if you level up your, like, the Thieves Guild, they follow you around and just pickpocket everyone. So you just see this constant stream of, like, 10 gold, 11 gold, 14 gold. Hmm. And they pat down the bodies of dead guys as you're walking by.
Nice.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, little tweaks like that are kind of cool, but, you know, I'm kind of, what I like about this is that they ended the stories of Altair and they ended the stories of Ezio, and I'm done with those characters.
Did they, like, end them, like, killing them?
Well, Altair, they die. I don't know if necessarily the story is them, you know, the story is important because they die.
Don't tell us how it ends.
Yes. At some point, they all die.
Spoilers.
Does Ezio just say screw it and like takes his little like wrist knife into his throat?
No,
something?
He does seppuku.
No, he does
seppuku.
But it's one of those where they finish off the stories in a satisfactory way, and I'm ready for a new character.
That's good though. At least they ended it good.
Yeah, I mean, if you're a Assassin's Creed junkie like I am, I mean, you'll be satisfied with the story.
Okay, that's good, because like that would be my thing. Because I'm reading a book right now that I've been waiting like 5 years. And the ending is going to be disappointing. I'm going to be fucking pissed off. And the same way with
games,
though, too.
You just got murderous rage in your eyes.
What I also like about the multiplayer is they're adding a lot of stuff that they kind of tweak the leveling. So you unlock abilities and things like that, too. But on top of that, because the multiplayer is you're playing the bad guys. You're playing the Templars.
Ah.
And like the whole multiplayer is based around this idea that you are training to hunt assassins by going through these simulations. And what's amusing is as you go up levels, you unlock videos and essentially files about the Templars. So you get to see the story so far told from a completely different perspective. And that is a lot of fun. Just, again, for nerds like myself. Here's the sad thing about how nerdy I am. In Europe,
you don't have to go there if you don't want to.
They released this Signature Edition, which came with a book, but only released in Europe. And I actually looked on eBay to see if I could find this book.
I thought it was like just in Ireland or something like that.
It was, yeah, it was primarily in GameStop Ireland's, but it was oddly specific. Yeah, I know, but it was you could get it all throughout Europe. Actually,
maybe they read a lot in Ireland. Maybe.
There was if you got one of if you pre-ordered and you got like a special edition for Uncharted 3, you could get a Nathan Drake figure that a vinyl figure that my friend actually designed, Eric Scarecrow, and I just brought my brother's. But that is something if anybody wants to give me anything for my birthday, because it's my birthday month, that's what I want. I want that figure. But good, no, that's, no. But it's funny just because I think they only made like 500.
Oh, yeah.
They didn't make a bunch. And it's just, it's funny that that was so exclusive because I know that when Uncharted 2 came out, his figure is supposed to come out for Uncharted 2. And because just pushback and they decided to have other stuff with the special edition and they just put it out later. And I think special editions like the Batman one was awesome too. But again, I didn't get it because I don't know. I just really like special editions.
I'm kind of torn. I'm in the process now because Mass Effect 3 comes out in March.
Yeah, I already got my pre-order for the collector's edition.
Well, and what pisses me off is I was going to do the collector's edition on Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
If you buy the regular edition, you get a $10 credit on Amazon. If you buy the collector's edition, you get nothing.
Oh, that's weird.
Well, aside from all the collector's edition shit. But you don't get anything special from Amazon.
Right. You don't get the $10.
Yeah.
That's annoying.
Originally, it was like $30 I was reading, but now it's down to $10.
Hmm.
You gotta find. That's a shit thing about like you gotta find stuff right when they're at. Because remember when I found the Xbox for like only $164?
Yeah.
I couldn't find that again.
Yeah.
But at Target, right? Like if you kept check, if anybody wants to connect, if you keep going back to Target every like other day, they're doing $50 off Connect, so it's only $100.
Hmm.
And that's why Cole and I bought the Connect because we got gift cards to Target, and Cole's like, "Can we buy Connect?" I'm like, sure, but I don't care. I'm gonna buy Monster High dolls, so I can't really yell at you for buying Kinect.
Really, Monster High doll?
They're so cute.
What the heck are you guys?
It's like Barbie with Universal monsters.
Yeah, Laurel wants to buy those.
Universal.
I'll have to buy
like
one for
Frankenstein,
Laurel.
Dracula, werewolf.
See, that's why you like you two are like slowly becoming like.
I know. I'm gonna buy her one. Yay, we'll have matching dolls.
I think Heather wants one too.
What are
okay,
they called?
Well, I'll buy three. I'll have to wait for them to be on
it's
sale.
Called Monster High.
They're like the Bratz Barbies, except they're like it's Frankenstein, so it's like Frankenstein's bride.
Yeah, they're supposed to be all the kids of the monsters.
Yeah, and then like Draculara, who's Dracula?
She's wearing.
Are you gonna? I think you need to look it up.
He's gonna look it up.
They're so cute. Yeah. Anyways,
so,
Before we move on to the Star Wars thing, I just had a thought I thought of this with Assassin's Creed, and this actually goes into. Talking about MMOs because I thought Warhammer Online did this really well. I want a game where if you've got a multiplayer and a fairly robust single player, I want to be able to play the single player while I'm waiting for a game to start on multiplayer. Because like with Assassin's Creed multiplayer, especially with their servers are notoriously slow for matchmaking. I mean, it takes like 5 minutes to start a fucking match. I actually did all my laundry while I was waiting to in the off times of playing multiplayer.
But yeah, you only own like long. Three shirts though.
Well, there's that.
So he washed them by hand.
Yeah, that's true. But I was just thinking, it's like you know, there's this awesome single player component. Why can't I play that and then just have like a little thing go off that's saying multiplayer is ready?
Multiplayer.
Like I don't know. I was looking at Monster High on my iPad, but World of Warcraft did that.
Warhammer Online did that.
I think because I think you could go basically queue up and then just go run around the world.
Yeah, with Warhammer Online, and I'm sure other MMOs do this, but I've only ever played Warhammer Online, where you could say, okay, there's an instance fight that you can queue up for, and you can just say, I'm ready to go, and then you just play the game like normal, and then all of a sudden you're basically plucked out of that and do this. I would love something like that. In a game with a decent single player,
at least give me Pac-Man.
Yeah, something to do.
Yeah.
God, I mean, that's one of the best parts about Skyrim and all the damn loading screens. At least you can spin the damn thing around.
Yeah,
you can. And
the load.
You didn't know you could spin.
I did not know.
Oh my
this.
God! How long? How many hours do you have in the game?
Like about 57 hours into the game.
Yeah, when it's doing the loading screen, hit the joysticks. You can pivot the item.
See, playing on PC, I have very little load time. Like those are only up for like 5 seconds.
Yeah,
but I think
according to Raptor,
did you know
I have 57 hours in.
Did you also know that on Google, if you type in barrel roll?
Does Google. It still do that?
Or let it snow? It'll snow on you. Yeah.
Nice.
Anyways, let's move on from your game.
Sorry.
Yeah.
What are we talking about? Star Wars.
yes, guys, we're going to talk about Star Wars. So I had a really awesome opportunity for the site Game Critics that I've done at least one other piece for before. And I don't know why, but they're basically like, you know, there's a freelance list of us who work for the site. And they're basically like, well, you know, games that nobody else wants. They're like, hey, anyone want to review this?
Because no one wants to play The Old Republic.
So when I got an email, you know, like, I remember getting it like one.
Did you poop your pants?
I got like one in the morning and I'm like, please, yes, fuck, give me this game.
I cannot reply fast enough.
Right, please.
You just typed back a big Y and that was it. You didn't even finish yes. You just Y.
Like, yes, give me now. So I've got an opportunity for them. I'm writing a series of reviews. It'll be the first impressions, which should be out within about a week or so, that review. And then kind of, you know, another review after playing it for a month. And then finally my impressions after playing for 3 months.
Cool. And you get to play for 3 months.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. How's Laurel feel?
Honestly, I play when she goes to bed.
She's coming to my house next weekend.
Yeah. Which means I'm probably going to be playing Star Wars the entire time.
So you could go be sociable or sit online.
I'm not inviting him. I'm only inviting her.
Yeah, it's really been a challenge. Like, I'm supposed to go hang out with people tomorrow. And I was kind of like, Laurel's like, hey, so-and-so wants to go do happy hour. And I'm like, but...
Penny Arcade is pretty spot on today. It's like, how do you raise your child knowing that you have Star Wars?
I know. It's great. I mean, it's like, it hits all the spots of, you know, like your classic MMO, like World of Warcraft. I mean, you know, you've got your toolbar with the abilities and all that. The beauty of this game, and I mentioned this in the review, is the fact that they set it about a thousand years before the events in any of the movies.
So free reign for license.
Exactly. It's like you have everything you love of Star Wars, but its own universe, its own storyline. And the other...
Hence the Old Republic.
Right.
Wouldn't the technology be crazy old 1,000 years before?
No, it's very similar. That's the weird thing.
Like, Star Wars, like, technology...
They don't age.
Yeah, technology has not progressed at all.
Yeah, it's the same stuff.
You know, they have books that go back that far.
Right.
Almost.
Yeah, and I've never read the books.
What year does Star Wars take place in?
I have no idea.
I don't think it's like...
There's not a year.
It's a long time ago
in a galaxy far, far away.
Yeah,
it's also
a galaxy far, far away. So really, there's no analogy.
Unless you're a Time Lord, you can figure it out.
1947.
I don't know. Maybe. I mean, that's irrelevant to the thing. But I mean, it's great because...
I thought it was relevant.
In the universe, too, like, you know, for people who played World of Warcraft, you know, you'll have your intro quests... that are kind of specific to whatever race that you pick, you know, like the undead, the...
So, like, yeah,
you know, the humans, off. Elvins,
werewolves
whatever.
Werewolves with top hats.
Yeah.
Werewolves with tops. That was the best thing that ever happened in World of Warcraft.
So, you know, whatever. Like, your beginning quests are specific to that. In this, I mean, your two main factions is going to be the Sith Empire and the Republic. You know, so good or evil. Right now, I'm currently playing as a cyborg... bounty hunter, because I really feel like bounty hunters did not get enough credence in the Star Wars series. Besides the
badass.
Like the 10 minutes Boba Fett is in the original trilogy. So what's really awesome?
Everybody still loves him,
right? Exactly. What's great in this universe though is that the intro quests are specific to whatever like class you pick. So, rather than in World of Warcraft, it didn't matter if you were a warrior, a rogue, a mage. You did the same initial quest lines. This is specific to whatever, you know, whatever kind of class you pick. So, if you're going to be a...
What are the classes?
There's a bunch of different classes. Like, I honestly don't remember them all. I know there's, like, a Sith emissary, a Sith warrior type. Oh, God, I can't remember. Like, if I remember right on the Sith side, there's about 5 or 6 of them. Okay. And I'm just like, nope, bounty hunter.
Oh, and you can be bounty hunters and then Jedi?
I didn't even look at the Republic side yet.
Bounty hunter is on the evil side.
Yeah, the bounty hunter is on the evil side.
No, I know, but I'm saying like Jedi. Like Sith are different than Jedi.
Yeah, yes. There's Sith and there's Jedi. But there's not, but everything on the Jedi side isn't necessarily like...
Is there a hut? Can you be a hut?
No. But funny thing is, in the planet you start off with when you are a bounty hunter is Hutta.
Yeah.
So it's the planet of the Hutts, and you're dealing with them a lot.
So the Hutts are in it technically, yes.
Yes, they are in it. They are NPCs, but and they are bastards as always.
Well, they're huts.
Right now, the storyline, spoiler alert, for a bounty hunter is you start off with trying to get commendation from some powerful person to enter what is called the Great Hunt, which is basically this competition amongst bounty hunters across the galaxy to hunt down this elusive target.
Hmm.
And you're trying to get commendation for it. You do all this bullshit stuff, only to discover, hey, guess what? This hut you've been trying to suck up to, he just gave it to somebody else. But he's like, yeah, so go kill the guy and you can get it. So no, that's currently where I am right now, is I'm trying to hunt this son of a bitch down in order to go get the combination. But it's great because in this universe, not only do they do those specific quests, there's areas you can't go into unless you're a certain class. And
but
likewise,
people playing at the same time with you, right?
Exactly. And okay. But what they'll do too is, I mean, it's great and annoying at the same time, is only one person can be in a certain area at a time.
Hmm.
I'm playing on a server with a low population right now, just because, right, I was like, I want to play the game. I don't want to, you know, people are like, no, play with me here. And I'm like, I don't want to sit in a 60-minute queue to get into the damn server.
Right.
So I just, you know, I'm in this thing where I think on my capital city at one point, I think the highest population I've had was 60-some people.
Yeah. Well, it's only people that have the codes. I mean, it's not like...
Well, no, the game's open to the public now.
Oh, it is?
Yeah. So, I mean, it's available for purchase.
Mm. Yeah, it has been for a while.
Yeah. For a couple of weeks, maybe.
You know, I don't pay attention to video game stuff.
Right. But yeah, no, so it's great because it's like you never feel like it's just that... At least in my experience, I've never felt like it's just a cluster of, oh, I'm just this one character and people are trying to do the same shit I am. Like that's really my biggest beef in WoW, is that in the initial, like, first 10 levels, it was you and 80 other people doing the simple kill three of this kind of quests.
Why are you playing a multiplayer game then?
Well, it'll get into the multiplayer stuff, at least I'm hoping to.
Because the Old Republic actual game wasn't that good.
Yeah.
Knights of the Old Republic,
you mean? Yeah.
Knights of the Old Republic, not that good.
Oh, shut your face.
This is, and the other thing is it too, is being that it's a BioWare property, there is a morality system in it.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen what it's done yet because I haven't advanced far enough in either side. I'm still neutral. I've actually been doing as much dick shit as I've done good.
Well, apparently it actually affects like the equipment you can
have. Right, yeah, the equipment you can have and all that. I'm assuming, I don't know if it affects quests.
I'm sure.
But yeah. I would love that. I even said that in my review. I'm like, I would love it if I became a total douche canoe in the game and it shut off certain things, which is kind of cool, being that I'm playing on the evil side, but I can still be kind of nice.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, I could be, you know, likewise, it'd be kind of cool to be a Jedi, but just absolutely be a douche lord.
So what are like the fighting mechanics?
I mean, the fighting's like, the fighting mechanics, it's your standard MMO kind of, you know, here's your 9 buttons of abilities, just jam out, you know, do the right kind of combinations and clicking on shit. I mean, nothing different than any other MMO I've played as far as, you know, those mechanics. What the beauty with this is I really love the universe and I really love the fact you have an MMO that has a morality system. It kind of gives you the ability of choice. You know, you can, you know, like on a simple quest, be like, hey, such and such, I don't like them, go deal with them. You can be like, hey, leave the planet or screw you, I'm going to shoot you.
Leave the planet or die.
Yeah, leave the planet or I'm going to sever your head and bring it back to so-and-so, which you do in a couple quests.
Now, I haven't played the game yet, but one thing I do find interesting about it is everyone I've heard really have a good like fest on for it, describes it as a single-player game.
It very much is, as of this point right now, it's single player. And what my understanding is a lot of the initial quests are, you know, you just kind of, you do on your own. I mean, I've ran into certain areas where it's like, oh, I've already been in this area, but so-and-so is like level 2 and they're trying to fight these guys here. Rocket to the face, boom, dead. You're welcome. You know, just kind of, I mean, I'm not like questing with anybody yet, but there's nothing in it, at least in this point that I'm at. And I'm level 9.
Okay.
At this point, I haven't gotten to the point where I've been, you know, questing with people. But I imagine there has to be that, because I can't imagine they would put out an MMO and the majority of the quests are just solo.
But you like it?
Oh, yeah. I love it so far. You know, and it's kind of hard for me not to play it a lot because I'm like, I've got other stuff I got to play.
Well, and, we should see what you say
and,
after.
And I've got a wife.
Played for like another month and then you've actually like done stuff with other
right,
people.
Right, yes. I mean, and that's going to be...
change.
And that's why, you know, with this site, they're like, hey, if we do this, we want to do like 3 reviews to kind of see how that changes. Because there's been a lot of games, you know, and this has been my experience, a lot of MMOs where initially it's like, hey, this is great. And then you play it for a month, like with me with Star Wars Online. I play after, like, initially the first week, I was in love with the game. I played it another month, and I'm like, this sucks.
Star Wars or Star Trek?
Star Trek Online.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
The more
sounds good.
The more I read about this game, the less I want to play not just it, but any MMO.
Yeah.
I won't play it because I refuse to play MMOs. Like, I don't...
They are a dark rabbit hole for me.
Well, first of all, I have a Mac. Second of all, like, not only do I go to my day job, then I do, like, other shit when I get home job-wise. So, if Uncharted already took, like, 13, 14 hours of my days that I thought... Like, even then I felt guilty. Like, this only took me three days. That means I played a lot of video games.
I've been staying up a lot lately. Let's put it that way.
Well, I broke the 100-hour mark in Skyrim, so
oh,
I'm like,
jeez.
Yeah. Okay, well, I think you should tell us about like playing with other people,
mm-hmm.
and after you played a little bit longer,
definitely.
When there's more people on it,
definitely.
I think that'll be interesting. But it sounds like, I mean, I wish I played MMOs. Because I would love this game.
It's
I'm
definitely
sure.
breaking a lot of the traditional kind of, you know, stuff that MMOs do, and I'm very fascinated with the kind of especially the ability of choice. And the fact that they give you the feel that you're not just playing in a clusterfuck.
Right. No. Exactly.
Woo woo.
Yeah. So, yeah.
I can't do it.
I'm sorry.
The more I think about this game, it would just drive me nuts.
You know another kind of game I bet you wouldn't play?
Hmm.
It's another game I've actually just recently picked up.
Oh. Tell.
Yeah, from the awesome people at EA.
Awesome.
I was able to get my hands on a copy of their kind of redone version of NFL Blitz.
Oh, I thought we were heading towards an awkward engagement.
Yeah,
No.
I played the shit out of NFL Blitz. Don't
the newest
whatever.
One?
Not yeah, the newest one.
No, not the newest one.
So the newest one.
No, he said that it is a game I would not play. And I
not
just,
now.
I'm just saying. Pass? I would play it now.
You play now?
I would play it now.
It's not okay. Mutant.
NFL Blitz is pretty close.
So
they just look human.
Yeah, that's right.
I suppose.
People out there who played, you know, NBA Jam, you know that EA's kind of bought up all those old properties of Midway. Who did the, you know, there's, you know, stuff like Jam, NFL Blitz. I don't know of any plans to do NHL Hits or...
No one wants that.
Or MLS Red Card
no
or MLB.
MLS Red Card?
Yeah, it was terrible.
The fuck is that?
It was
soccer. Mean?
It was an MLS. It was a soccer game that was done in that style.
Just FIFA.
It sucks.
That's all you need for soccer right
the
now.
Baseball one that they did, also terrible.
Baseball's not violent enough
no.
to warrant a blitz.
Here was the trick to the baseball game that Midway did. Hit a single, wait for the outfielder to throw it to the first baseman and knock the first baseman out, run to second, knock the second baseman out, run the third, knock the third baseman out, run home.
That was basically the Cyber Stadium baseball.
Yeah, that was basically just like, I would win every game against the computer.
I basically wish that wasn't real baseball.
Yeah, I would basically beat the computer like 450 to nothing all the time. But regardless, so they, you know, they've brought back their, you know, their version of Blitz. It's a lot of the same stuff that, you know, have been in a lot of the other games. They've taken out the late hits, which is really disappointing. But
because they were late in real football.
Exactly. It was actually a thing that came down from the NFL that they said, look, you can't put the late hits in the game.
No.
Yeah, I'm, that's...
There's two aneurysms going on right now. Go at the same time. Let's hear this out.
It's like, nah. It's like, oh, let's have a shooting game where you just shoot Nerf guns. Like, no.
They
that
made that.
Why.
Tackling. I just turned into a 12-year-old boy.
I'm developing.
Tackling and late hits are two completely different things.
No, and that's fine, but NFL Blitz is about late hits.
It's about hits.
I want NFL Blitz to be Last Boy Scout the game. I want to be able to pull a 45 while running into the
like
end zone.
Like a Colt 45?
I think...
That too.
I think that's fine. I just think because the NFL, because the whole NFL
Fuck
lockout,
NFL.
And because of all the like concussions and the late hits and stuff, they've just gotten really strict with it.
Mm-hmm.
So to give to have NFL Blitz, they had to follow procedure.
Exactly, and that was kind of the big thing with it. I understood it.
Doesn't mean I have to like it.
I don't like it necessarily. I did find myself in the first game being like, no, wait, oh yeah, I can't do this.
Evan, that's why you just can watch real football.
Right, exactly.
No.
Because then if you watch the Lions, they still do late hits.
No, they do stomping. The Lions are cheaters.
Like Bastard Namakasu.
The only thing I want to see, and again, I've talked about this on several shows before, the only thing I want to see in terms of televised football is someone dying. Ooh. Other than that, I don't care.
But if you watch football, you bastard. Can see really crazy, like, slow motion, like, bones break and, like, legs and limbs move.
When it's Adrian Peterson. That made me sad.
No, I don't want to see actual people get hurt.
But you want to see someone die.
Yes.
Just as long as it's painless?
You are a morbid motherfucker.
That makes a lot of fucking sense.
Do I have to go into this speech again?
We're not talking about this because we're running out of time.
I'm glad I can't send this to EA now.
I'm giving them feature ideas.
The game itself, it's a lot of the same stuff that you're used to. Obviously, the rosters are updated. So I got the awesome ability to, last night I played against the Packers, beat them.
Not really.
42-14.
Nope.
And I just enjoyed sacking Aaron Rodgers. Not only that, like doing the helicopter thing and then throwing him 5 yards past where I tackled him. And I'm like, yay.
And were you Jared Allen when you were doing that?
I was so happy.
No, does he do like the rope?
He unfortunately does not do the
calf rope.
He's not supposed to do that because he can't put down his knee.
He does it kind of standing now.
Yeah, he does it kind of standing. But
I was hoping he was going to get that record, but he didn't.
Yeah.
Well, it's because the quarterback didn't Brett Favre it. But the game, it's a lot of fun and they've added new modes to it. So, with NBA Jam, you can be on fire after if you get 3 consecutive points in for...
They let you be on fire, but they won't let you late tackle.
Yeah, so you can be on fire...
What example is that giving the children?
So you can be fire in NFL Blitz if one guy catches 3 consecutive passes in a row, or your defense... I can't remember what it is. It's like 2 consecutive hits in the backfield or something like that. But I had it at one point where I was playing against Denver, and I put it on easy. I racked up the score something ridiculous, like 100 and something to whatever. I had my entire team on fire.
That sounds like something you wouldn't want.
That sounds like that's just going to have...
Mainly just because I want
to bring Molotov cocktails to games.
Mainly just because I just wanted to sack Tim Tebow relentlessly, but that's a different story.
He seems like a nice man.
He's a douche canoe.
Not a douche canoe because he's religious. Be nice.
No, he's a douche canoe because he can't play football.
But he can.
But he wins.
Just don't. No, I'm going to have another aneurysm.
We're troll baiting right now. So
right, a little bit troll baiting. But no, it's a
that's
great
why
game.
I'm trying to be an advocate. Just
the,
to be nice.
The other interesting thing that added to the game, too, is there is like a, it's kind of like a ladder mode. Like, the way they have it set up.
Like
almost,
Mortal Kombat?
Yeah, in a way. So it's like, you create this team, and it's called like these Blitz Battles. But you can create this team, but you can also bring in players from other teams. So, like, right now, I actually have the Packers offensive line on the Vikings team, because the Vikings offensive line sucks.
And yet you want to tackle Aaron Rodgers.
Well, I didn't say his line wasn't good. But they're in Vikings uniforms, which makes it okay.
Well, exactly.
And then I have, the defensive back from the Eagles in right now instead of Cedric Griffin.
So you have none of the Vikings?
No, I do.
We have a fantasy football team.
No, I have the entire Vikings offense, which is, and as this game consists of Christian Ponder, Adrian Peterson, Percy Harvin, and Vasante Shenko.
Is Kyle Rudolph on the field?
No, he is not. They only have 7 players on a team. It's just the line, quarterback, 2 wide receivers and a running back, and then the defense, it's the line, like 2 linebackers, a free safety, and 2 defensive backs.
Different.
Yep, a little bit. So, but I mean, it's all, kind of the classic, just beating the crap out of each other. It's a lot of the points. But yeah, there's like, so when you're in that blitz battle thing, after you've beaten like 3 teams in a row, there's a boss battle. And I haven't gotten to the boss battles yet, so I don't know what those are all about, but they're like...
You have to fight Goodell or something like that?
I don't know, because they're like... Because you see the pictures of the boss, and it's like, oh, it's a cheetah, or it's a cent... Turian or is this something weird? And
it'd be funny if it was like a large eagle, like the team you're playing against. Like they're
like shaking on the floor right now. You just like
what?
Yeah. So I mean, I'm excited to get to that point. I just
do you like it though?
I do like it a lot. Yeah. It's a lot of fun. You know,
how many points is it?
It's you can pick it up for 1,200 points,
which is 15.
Yeah. So it's $15 on PSN, 1,200 space bucks on Microsoft.
And for $15, is it a good buy?
I think so. A lot of people, I was reading on OperationSports.com, which is a big gaming site for sports gamers. A lot of people were like flipping out about it, and I just wanted to like tell them, like, you guys do know this is a $15 game, right?
Don't. What were their complaints?
They were just, you know, the late hits. They were upset that it wasn't.
But they have to realize, like, it is an NFL title, and the NFL changed all the rules.
Right,
like,
that's exactly it. It's just,
if you want to play NFL Blitz, nothing's stopping you from
picking up a 2008
I
copy.
I still have my original PS1 copy sitting in my drawer. So it's like, you know, the rosters are updated, which is nice, but, you know.
Is Dante Culpepper in that PS1 one, then?
I don't remember.
Oh. Yeah, that would have been.
I just remember I always played with the Steelers and did Cordell Stewart because you could, yeah.
I always played the Jets in the original one.
Because you like planes?
Mm-hmm. Because they could pass.
You like Betty?
Oh.
Yeah. Surprisingly, though, I do think the stats they put on the teams are a little off because the Broncos are absolutely terrible in the team and the Vikings are actually not half bad, which I'm just kind of like, well, the Vikings weren't that good this year. So, the stats are a little skewed, but whatever, you know. People were actually bitching. It's like, you can't go see your individual player stats. And I'm like, dude, if you want that
fucking arcade,
that's exactly my thought was
Go buy Madden.
If you want that, go buy Madden.
Yeah,
you're paying $15 for an arcade experience.
If you want that, go play Madden. But buy Madden, play it on easy.
Exactly. Yep.
Yeah.
So
turn off all the penalties.
But yeah, no, I'm a big fan of it. I should have a review coming out for that sometime this weekend when I've got a little more time to play it. So
sweet.
But yeah. So. And again, you can check out all of our articles and all that stuff at yetanothergamingshow.tumblr.com.
Woo woo.
Indeed. I guess we could wrap up here.
Yes, let's do that.
You sure you don't want to hear my people dying on TV thing?
No.
No,
we've heard that before.
I don't want to get any.
Ian hasn't heard it.
Courtney, I don't want to get any.
Sure has heard it.
Don't want to get any further into your mind. I'm already going to have nightmares as it is.
Well, let's just wrap up.
Just wrap up.
Let's leave on a good note, which is us leaving.
Wow. Nothing but confidence about this show right there.
That's my joke to you.
Do want to thank Mr. Mike Dineen, who's beating at my tablet like the monkeys from 2001. Would you leave it alone?
He's going to evolve in a minute.
God.
I am. Thank you, everyone, again, for listening and check another show. And thanks especially to everybody out there who's following us in the various social medias. If you are not, you can check us out on Facebook, Yet Another Gaming Show. Just look us up. Otherwise, on Twitter at YAGSFPG.
All right. I almost said Foursquare, but that's not this show. Also, big thanks to Ian.
Thank you. Thank you. Check us out at shop.fancypantsgangsters.com to buy some cool t-shirts and other things. I think it's just t-shirts, but
we've got prints. We've got prints of the old Yet Another Gaming Show design.
There we go. We do have other things than t-shirts.
Evan's also designing a thong, too.
We That's conversation from before.
Is it going to be the only brief-style thong?
I'd be fine with that.
It's just a pair of Hanes whitey tighty labeled thong
that Evan has written in
Sharpie.
Sharpie.
And then just writes "Inspected by Pants Commander" on
the
back.
Right.
Yeah,
that's right, man.
It's gonna be like the little sticker, like "Inspected by Number 10."
I like it.
Yep.
Also, Heather will approve, right?
I'm sure. Also, big thanks to Ashley. Hey.
Thank you guys for listening. I don't have any sites to plug because everybody else plugged them. But
Tumblr.
You already did.
Plugged that.
So what?
Did you need to shout?
I just want to have you guys just make sure you're spreading the word, letting all your friends know. We really appreciate every single listener. And, you know, leave comments on iTunes, do reviews, anything that will help us out. We really, really appreciate it.
Yeah, definitely. Feel free to contact us through the social medias or already given and let us know your feedback so we can always make it a better show.
And make sure, too, I mean, we're still doing the Share the Pants.
That's true.
As well.
Yep. The winner for December will be decided by the time you hear this show.
Yep.
Share the Pants.
And all you got to do to enter that is just share anything on Twitter or Facebook or Google+ that is about us. You know, anytime you see Share the Pants,
on a post. If you share it, you'll enter into a contest to win a $50 gift certificate to Amazon.com. And speaking of giveaways, on Friday this week, I kind of like, you know, we've gotten a lot of good response with the Steam giveaway we did last week.
Yep.
Got a lot of new fans. If you're starting to listen to the show because of that, thank you.
Sorry.
Hope you enjoy it. I kind of want to make a Friday is like a like Freebie Friday or something like that, because we're going to have a couple, at least one code for which game?
Dungeon Defenders.
Dungeon Defenders.
What's that
Steam
one game about Dungeon Defenders?
Shut up.
So Evan has this game wanted on that he wants on the Steam, and I'm like, oh, I got a copy. What game? Dungeon Defenders. What is that?
No. You said,
what
you
is
said,
that called?
No, you said, I got a game about Dungeon Defenders. And I'm like, oh, okay. What's it called? I don't remember the name of the game. No, it's called Dungeon Defenders. And in my defense, I don't know what 90% of the stuff on that wish list is, because in order to enter a contest you had to have 10 things on your wish list. So I just picked 10 things that looked okay. But I don't remember anything that's on there. So
all you picked Leisure like, Suit Larry or something.
Yeah.
I would know, never.
Anyway.
Freebie Friday.
Yeah, so Friday, keep an eye on Twitter and Facebook. We'll be giving away codes to Steam. Not codes to Steam, but Steam copy of Dungeon Defenders.
Steampowered.com.
That's right.
That's the code.
Yes. And it's free on us. Just enjoy it on us.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you guys very much for listening. And as always, thank you. And I'm going to just say thank you. Keep thanking. See, I
thank
can't
you.
Even talk. I'm going to do this over.
Stop.
As always, thank you guys for listening, and we will see you next week.
What are we talking about? Star Wars?